Going to continue down. Number six, we've got our Deputy Secretary Scott Simpson with us for the strategic plan year in review.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioner, Secretary Roebling. As we kind of get to the end of 2023 and move into 2024, new legislative session, even though we're in the middle of a fiscal year, we tend to look back on a calendar year and kind of see how we've done. A lot of the reports that we generate are, you know, yearly sales reports, yearly camping reports, yearly visitation reports. And as we're putting those reports together in the last couple of weeks, we thought that it might be beneficial to provide a little synopsis of what happened last year and tie that back to our strategic plan. As many of you know, we had a strategic plan that was full of accomplishments and projects, and I think it went about 147 different directions, if I remember right. And with Secretary Roebling's leadership and some input from all of our staff, we needed to simplify that and bring it back down to something that gave us a purpose every year and or every day when we came to work, and be able to say the things that I'm doing contribute to that. And so that's what this review is to maybe put some of those numbers out there in front of you, but also tie it back to why we do that. And are we meeting those goals? Are we meeting those criteria areas? And where can we improve along the way? So first up, again, just a reminder of our mission. We serve, connect people and families to the outdoors through effective management of our state's parks, fisheries, and wildlife resources, as well as our vision, which is we will conserve our state's outdoor heritage to enhance the quality of life for current and future generations. We boil that all down to serve, connect, and manage. And if you have been in a meeting with Secretary Roebling any time in the last 2 years, chances are you've heard that as an introduction. We all try to use that and make sure that all of our folks know that these are the things that we live by. I spoke earlier about those priorities. These are the four priority areas that I want to talk about today. The first one is habitat and access. I don't want to say that any four or any one of these four is more important than the other, but we have put a lot of energy into habitat and access. You hear us talk about it at every commission meeting. Anytime we're in just a general conversation, we're talking about habitat and access. And that is from Secretary Roebling all the way to our seasonals, right? We know that this is what we lead with a lot of times. And, you know, we're working hard to expand habitat across South Dakota. We are looking hard at trying to improve the habitat that we have on GPAs. And I'm going to provide some numbers that hopefully will support that. Number two is asset management. That's taking care of what we've got. It's pretty broad when you look at our assets. Sometimes we'll define a GPA as an asset, and sometimes we'll define GPAs as a habitat category. So, but I'm going to show you some numbers again that hopefully will tell you that we are taking care of that infrastructure the way that we need to. That's both on the land, on the water, and a lot of those facilities that we are tasked with managing. Customer service is something that we do every day, and we've got some numbers that show you the kind of quantities of customer service that we provide. And then operational excellence, again, that's making sure that our folks have the training, have the opportunities to advance, to make sure that they are skilled in their trades, whatever they be, up and down the chain of command within the game fishing parks. I'm going to start with habitat and access. In 2023, we're just going to look at 2023 numbers. We've completed $3.6 million worth of habitat stamp projects. We've got an entire presentation based around the habitat stamp, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. We'll break some of that down later on in the meeting. That's a fantastic number. I think the next number is something that you heard the governor speak about as well, and that is the record number of private land enrolled in public hunting access. We broke a record this year and are just over 1.5 million acres of access on private land public access. As a commission, we brought you a proposal and you adopted it, and we were able to open up about 3,000 acres of additional hunting opportunity this fall on some of those park lands that had previously been signed as closed. So we think that's a great opportunity. The Big Sioux CREP, still in its infancy, but we have been able to sign up over 2,500 acres into the Big Sioux River Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program. I think the total goal there is 25,000. We've got a ways to go, but we're off to a good start. Benchmark year for habitat acres on private lands. This is our private lands programs. I'm going to get into that just a little bit more, but our private lands biologists are out there every day meeting landowners where they're at and trying to put conservation programs on the ground on private land. And we were able to accomplish that on about 81,000 acres this year. And then you're all aware of what the shooting range project that we've got going on out west. But we set aside some money every year to help local gun ranges, local shooting clubs, to enhance, to improve those local opportunities, and we continue to make those strides every year. Dig into the private lands habitat program just a little bit. This year we spent about $2.8 million on that private land habitat program. Again, landowners putting on the ground some of the programs that we have offered through game fish and parks. 5-year average of that, five-year total of that is about $13.3 million that are going to private land owners to establish habitat programs on their private land. You can see the list there. Obviously, one of the most important or most attractive for private lands folks or landowners. We do about 970 habitat food plots to the tune of about 11,000 acres. I won't read through all those, but you can see all of the different things that we do. And again, it equals out to about 81,000 acres this year. Some years are going to be more, just kind of depends on the size of the projects that we're able to accomplish. In total, the last 5 years, we've been able to do about 5,600 projects on private land. Not only do we work on, as I said, habitat on private land, we want access to private land. And that goes into that 1.5 million acres of private land access. Total payments to landowners, about $7.6 million this past year. You can see the areas where we're able to work with private landowners to get public access. Obviously, our walk-in program leads the way, but you'll see two different conservation reserve enhancement programs. We also have the CHAP areas, we have the Elk County access areas, as well as Lower Hawaii Waterfowl access area here north of Pierre. As I mentioned, habitat access also takes place on public land, and Game Fish and Parks is tasked with managing about 723 GPAs in 57 counties, so we're just about everywhere in the state. It encompasses right around 286,000 acres. To manage that land properly, it takes about $5.5 million every year, and it did in 2023. And in addition to that, about $1.57 million is paid in property taxes. You can see on the right there, we do about 4,500 acres of food plots. This year, we were able to plant 138 acres of tree and shrub plantings. We also had 1,000 acres of nesting cover, as well as pollinator plots and noxious weeds that we take care of. 12,000 acres on public land that gets taken care of every year. Also within the hunt, how do we kind of gauge where we are doing things well and not doing things as well? One of the things that we can look at is our licenses sold to hunt small game. This includes combination licenses and those kinds of things. The blue number here that you see is the resident number. This past year, 2023, we had 85,526 residents that purchased a license that allowed them to hunt small game. It's up a tick from 2022, but I think the important thing to look at is When we started emphasizing habitat, 2019, 2020, in that area and saying, hey, this is where we're really going to go. This is where the basket that we're going to put our eggs in. You can see that we've had a steady increase. And yeah, Mother Nature's got to cooperate with us to do those things. But you can see that when we're able to help put the habitat out there, we get the birds, we get the deer, we get the whatever it may be that. South Dakota residents will respond and purchase those licenses, especially on small game. And then, of course, on the non-resident side, we started out a little tough back in 2019. That was a tough year for us on both sides of the equation, resident and non-resident. But you can see that, again, we're steadily increasing. Again, habitat access paying off with additional sales of, and participation on the licenses sold. Fishing, kind of the same equation, right? Not every year is going to be a record year. We would like to give you news every year that we're better than we were last year. This year, we were better than we were last year, but we weren't quite as good as we were during the COVID years, right? We had a lot of people that realized that the South Dakota Outdoors was open and decided to go fishing. We've been able to retain a whole bunch of those folks. It's slid back a little bit as baseball starts up and soccer starts up and swimming pools open and all those kinds of things, but we feel pretty confident that that's that just maintaining around that 130,000 is a strong year. We're going to do everything that we can to increase it next year. Non-resident side, we've seen real strong participation since 2019. It fluctuates anywhere from, again, the COVID year, 82,000. We didn't see as many people moving around from state to state, but the last 3 years have been pretty consistent. Moving to the second one, asset management. I'll try to run through these fairly quickly. But in our park system, we spent $7.8 million in preventative maintenance on roads, trails, and structures. That's a pretty big number to dedicate every year, but that's what it takes to keep our facilities in the shape that we need them to be when our customers show up. We did about $2.5 million worth of water-based infrastructure. That is boat ramps, lakeside use areas, making sure that people have access to the water, and when they get there, that the boat ramps are in good condition. About $17 million worth of ARPA funds was dedicated to us through the legislature. We are starting to see that we're getting close to putting those projects on the ground. We did all of the design work. We've got about a dozen major projects that are out there that we're getting ready to cut loose, and we'll be spending that $17 million. We completed the store renovation out at Sylvan Lake. You all were able to go out there and tour that. That was a couple million dollar project. $2.5 million at Palisades Park. We're going to be camping there this spring. I'm glad to finally be able to say that we are going to be able to camp at Palisades this year in the new addition. And then we had about $2.8 million worth of DOT collector road improvements. That's the money that comes over to us from DOT that we use on these collector roads that a road in the park will connect one public road to another. It really helps us out in providing some of that infrastructure within the park. Another significant contribution to why I believe is taking care of assets is taking care of our lakes. Our lakes are great. There's a lot of water recreation that's out there, but if we don't have fish in them, well, we're missing a big opportunity here. And you can see that we've stocked over 100 million fish, 19 different species in 249 waters throughout the state. Customer service. Almost 8 million park visitations this year. Not a record number, but it's darn close. And it definitely keeps our folks hopping. That's almost 8 million people that we need to, I don't know if we greet them individually, but I know that we sure are making contact with a bunch of them and making sure that they're having a good time within our park system. State park system also hosted 351,000 camping nights and sold 537 park entrance licenses. There's a variety of different licenses, whether it be daily, annual, CSP, but in total over 500,000 park entrance licenses. We had record attendance at the Buffalo Roundup this year, just over 22,500 folks that attended that event, and we look for that to continue to grow. It's a great event, and I know many of you had a chance to be out there. We provided 3,663 outreach and education programs, and that reached just short of 100,000 participants. Again, just kind of giving you a sense of what the volume of people that we're doing, that we're working with on it, and providing that customer service level to every year. And it may be a small thing, but I think it was a big thing. We had a little consternation about it at the commission level, but I think we got to a place where everybody was happy, and we were able to accommodate some of those travelers that are traveling with their pets and make some of those opportunities available within our park system. More on the wildlife customer service side, we responded to wildlife damage requests this year, 1,919 of those. Again, wildlife damage is deer on haystacks, those kinds of things. And we also, just short of 1,500 animal damage control requests. That's coyote control, that's beaver removal, those kinds of things. We expanded our Hunt Safe in the schools to 35 schools this year, which we think is fantastic, and we're going to continue to try to grow that. Down in our licensing shop, 292,000 limited draw applications submitted, and over 2 million views on the Go Outdoor South Dakota webpage. So, again, we're dealing with a lot of people, and I know that we sometimes hear that things aren't going exactly as an individual or two would like it to go. But when you look at some of these numbers, I think it's safe to say that we're hitting the mark at a very high rate every time that we're out there. I spoke about wildlife damage. I just wanted to, this is a slide that includes some other things, but I really wanted to point you to the deer depredation. We all know what last year's winter looked like. We took on 655 requests for service, just deer related, and spent over $1.1 million. That was a 358% increase over 2022, and our folks did it every day. They took the phone calls, they responded when they needed to respond, and they took care of the problems as best that we could address them. And I think I want you to understand that we can be nimble with these things too. It isn't just somebody's job to go do this. They've got a different job, and we're pulling them off of that and saying, hey, it's all hands on deck. We got to go take care of this thing right now. And I think that speaks to customer service. I think it speaks to the kind of team effort that Game Fish and Parks puts out there. Final thing I want to talk to you about is operational excellence, and that's taking care of our employees and making sure that they've got the tools that they need. We spoke about it a little bit last month, but we've implemented a process here in Pierre where we're bringing in all new employees and giving them an opportunity to visit with the Pierre staff, right? Secretary Roebling spent a couple hours on a PowerPoint and conversation going back and forth with our new employees. The administrative folks that are in this room spent a couple hours with those same folks, and it was just a great opportunity for us to tell them what we do every day and kind of outline how this department works, and we've gotten great feedback from that. We're going to continue to do that on a quarterly basis. Every quarter as well, we do an all-department call. We allow anybody that wants to jump on, an employee, to jump on. There's lots of times we have a few hundred folks on that phone call, and they submit questions ahead of time. And if you know Secretary Roebling, he does not shy away from any question. And if you ask it several months in a row, he will continue to answer it. On a much smaller scale, provided technical maintenance training for field staff. We call this RTEC training. It's a regional technical education center down in Yankton. Sent some of our park staff down there. They get trained up on plumbing, electrical, welding, construction, and be able to take those skills back, put them to use in the parks. The next one you see is advanced construction training for park staff. We took what we learned at RTEC, moved those folks up to Spring Creek. We've got some phenomenal leaders within our department with some great skills. I think it was 24 people that we moved up to Spring Creek for 3 or 4 days, and they started to renovate some of those cabins up there. Everything from siding to subflooring, to putting in cabinets, to building decks. For 4 days, we had leaders out there teaching them how to do these things, but at the same time, we're getting the benefit of basically renovating some of our cabins up at Spring Creek, so multiple benefits. We continued our efforts to recruit full-time and seasonal staff. You've heard the story about how we've gone from 18 CO positions being vacant down to 5. That's been just awesome for us to get more people out in the field. And our seasonal staff, I think we had probably one of the better years that we've had trying to recruit seasonal staff in the last year. If any of you are sitting in a tractor driving up and down the road on a Saturday afternoon listening to the Jacks game, WNAX, you can thank Nick Harrington for every time that you get beat over the head with an internship or seasonal opportunity to work for Game Fish and Parks. That's been a great partnership for us, and I think we're starting to see the details of that. We even get to send Nick over to Hobo Day so that he can and hang out with those folks and pass out some brochures.
Do the best.
Yep. And the final thing is we continue to emphasize Team GF&P. As I mentioned earlier, like with the deer depredation, we've got parks folks out there that are helping with deer depredation. We've got parks folks that are jumping over and helping with maybe it's walleye spawning or something along those lines. But at the same time, we've got wildlife folks that are, after a storm, they're out there with chainsaws and helping us clean up messes in the park system. And I can honestly say in the 20 years that I've been here, I've never seen such a team effort when it comes to needing people or resources or whatever it is. It's a testament, I think, to the message from Kevin. I think it's the message that Tom and Jeff put out there every day, that we are a team effort, and we continue to try to make sure that everybody understands that we don't work in silos. We're working for the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks and for the people of South Dakota. And that's it. Sorry to be so wordy, but it's a lot of things to go through. Any, happy to answer any questions.
Yes, any questions or comments for Scott? I will say this, that was very impressive to sit here and look at all of the accomplishments that GFMP team has done. I am so proud to be part of this organization. That is phenomenal. Job well done. Good work.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And it doesn't have a lot to do with the people that are in this room. It's the people that are out there in the field every day, making sure that our customers are taken care of and that they get to reap the benefits of their hard work. Thank you.
All right, we're going to keep moving.